a black person comes out with an initiative that's very much for our people, that's very much into the liberation and the freedoms and, you know, all the things that we believe are necessary for us to move to the next step, it's kind of tossed off to the side and, you know, kind of put into, oh, well, they're just radicals and, you know, they're just trying to blame everything on the white man, and their efforts kind of get dismissed, whereby somebody like LeBron or Oprah or even Cosby, people who have money, it's like people love that capitalism to the point where they almost can't do no wrong. Why is it that we need to give LeBron 10 minutes? Like, I don't understand that concept. Just as you told the caller, you know, things that need to be criticized, you know, if they're open for that, let's go ahead and do it. And for you to be told that you need to give him room, why? Like, you don't need to do anything for him. Like, he's going to do what he does. But at the end of the day, for those of us who feel like that type of initiative is not necessarily going to help, why is it that we have to stand back and be like, okay, have a little bit of room for your errors, or maybe even a little bit of room for you to pull through? I don't feel that's necessary. And as a mother who homeschools, as a mother who really believes that there isn't much through capitalism that is helping, I don't see what LeBron is doing that is going to assist even with some of these brothers that people are putting focus on. So, for example, a lot of people are saying that, you know, LeBron as a black man is doing this and showing brothers how they can, you know, as they grow up, how they can filter through the system and so on and so forth. To me, I'm like, it sounds like what you're doing is kind of pigeonholing them into becoming those same black elite that really don't give a darn about the community. They don't really do anything for us. You pointed out as well that, you know, when I think you said Claude Anderson was looking for, you know, brothers that were in entertainment or in sports to kind of help out, and they were like, nah, nah, nah. So when people see LeBron, they're almost like, oh, wow, you know, he's doing something that no other black men are doing. He's, you know, he's starting to kind of push through the mold. And again, it looks like that, but as you pointed out, who's directing that? Who's behind it? Who's facilitating it? I read the little piece that talks about what he's offering, you know, free tuition and free this and free that. Okay, great. That sounds like an amusement park to me. Do we want to build an amusement park for children? Fine, great. But I don't see how that's going to work towards the liberation and freedoms. I don't see how it's going to help some of these young brothers come through the passage and really do what's necessary to assist our community. That money could have been dealt better. That's my personal opinion. It could have been put in other areas. We've got enough schools. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with some of us building some things that are going to be specific to help us. But to me, it sounds like, not to be rude, but it sounds like an All Lives Matter moment, which I want to bring about one last point. Mm-hmm. I remember a few months back, I think it was LeBron James and a few athletes and whatnot were giving money to that little boy who was bullied. And they were open about it and they were talking about it. And it was like, oh my goodness, this little white boy got bullied and this is horrible. Right. But we see so many things with black kids that happen. And even if they are giving their money behind the scenes, you don't see that stuff happening like face forward. And there's a reason why. And so to me, I'm just like, you know what? They just do things that are going to keep them in the limelight and keep their name coming, rather than the stuff, like I said, that's important for our community. Anyways, that's my thoughts.
I so appreciate that. Yeah, I think that I agree with all your points. It does look like a vanity project. I mean, somebody please go online and look up the images from the school and tell me that's not a shrine to Nike, LeBron, and consumerism. And I'm like, you know, who's going to be teach? Who did he sit with? Did he sit with Dr. Wade B. Nobles? Did he sit with Dr. Marimba Ani? Did he sit with any of our current living scholars and icons of the black struggle to talk? Or did he come here and sit with Marcus Klein? Did he talk to any of the brothers in our community, any of the sisters in our community engaged in academia, in education? Who's instructing him? Who's dealing with the curriculum? I already know who the executive director is. And like I said, I don't even want to go there, but I can tell you two things. She ain't black and she ain't got no history in education in our community. And LeBron's about to go off to Beverly Hills and play for the Lakers. He might show up for a couple of ribbon cuttings and ceremonies, but that ain't LeBron's school. Who is he putting in charge?
Exactly.
And like I said, I've worked and since I was 14 years old and I decided I wanted to be, and I was a liberal and I wanted to help my community. And I joined the Boys and Girls Club as a volunteer. I joined the Youth Volunteer Corps, the Stop the Violence Coalition. And I was doing everything I could as a poor black kid in a poor black community, ravaged by violence, drugs, blah, blah, blah. And I learned one thing about this not-for-profit community service is they're very big on evaluations. Whenever someone puts up money, the first thing they say is, we're going to evaluate. And so we always look at the money put up. We never look at the back end. Bill Cosby, long before LeBron James was ever touched a basketball, was putting up millions of dollars to send black kids off to school. And the entire black community was praising him and loving him. And he was forever endeared to us for the fact that where we can see that he's a serial rapist, and we still got people defending him. And I said, how was that? Where are the tangible outcomes? I know where the good deed is, but what is the tangible outcome of the good deed? How many of those Cosby kids are now doing good works and making positive contributions to the just aspirations of our community? Mm-hmm. Because if Bill Cosby sent dozens or hundreds of black people off to school, and now they're working for the same multinational corporations and government institutions that are oppressing us, that are extracting resources from us without compensation, then what praise do we owe him for putting the money up?
That's right.
And black people, let me tell you something. We're not free, but we show is cheap. Because we show enough are willing to lay down and prostrate ourselves to any black person with a name and some money. And no matter where they throw it, whether it's rotten turkeys passed out of a trunk on Thanksgiving or building a vanity project school, we ready to prostrate ourselves before them. And we don't step back and say, what is this? If you go to B'nai B'rith and say, I'm going to give some money to Israel, I'm going to give some money to the Jewish cause or Jewish refugees, the Jews are going to say, okay, that's very good that you have that in your heart, but we got terms and conditions. We want to know what your motivations are. Who are your finances? Even when you're doing something good for them. But we say, if you're doing something good, we're the wretched of the earth. We're so unworthy. If you want to just give us an autographed shoe to auction off to pay for textbooks, then well, we're lucky to have it. And you better not question it. You better not say nothing. Just accept it. Because we got very low racial esteem. So anybody that's willing to even sit next to us on the bus or share a water fountain with us is godly, is angelic. We have a right, even if you've given us something, even if you're donating something to us, we got a right to examine it. We got a right to question it. We got a right to evaluate the outcomes, and we got a right to inquire about your motivations. And what do you get out of this? Why you love me so much all of a sudden? And if everything checks out, then we can have a good handshake. But we always enter into this stuff thinking we're so unworthy that whatever little we get, we better be happy for it and bet not bat an eye at it. Eat it up. Swallow it down and don't question it. And that's how that We Are the World with Michael Jackson and the free vaccinations and the free HIV tests and all this stuff. They remember Tuskegee was charity. Remember, they came down to do the Tuskegee experiment at a black institution with a black nurse, Nurse Rivers, and were like, we're going to give you free health care because we love you colored folks so much. And black folks are like, oh, I got bad blood. I can go to Tuskegee and get me some free treatment because white folks giving us charity. We've been played by this benevolence so many times, and here it is 2018, and we still taking in whatever people willing to give us without questioning it.
Yep. Well, if I can just interject real quick before I let you go here. Mm. I want to say that, you know, what you do, I find to be more intuitive and inspiring for somebody like myself, and I believe things with the community, because I don't need somebody in the community that, like I said, is going to throw around a ball. Like, we've got enough of them. You know, we don't need somebody in the community that's going to, you know, just, I guess, spew out the regular rhetoric that we hear on a consistent basis, because we've got people doing that. I feel like there needs to be more people like you and I and some of the other people that we see that are really trying to fight what is considered the status quo. It's easy to say, well, you know, black girl magic is, you know, this young sister doing gymnastics, which, again, I mean, at the end of the day, like, we know that black men and women typically are athletic in size, so it's not magic to see somebody do cartwheels and throw a ball. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful either. You know, it's those things to me aren't necessarily magical. I mean, those things are almost kind of like what's part of our body, our cultures, like who we are, just in general. We're strong people in so many different ways. So I don't find that that's magical. But what I see we constantly do is, for example, we see a sister who has, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids, and we're, you know, she's ghetto or she's this or she's that. Never ever thinking for one second that, you know, there has to be balance. Like, we need women having babies because we need population, right? So we shouldn't be knocking down the sisters and looking at them like they're just ghetto or they're this and that. Like, why isn't being a mother and helping to produce and populate the community, why isn't that considered magical? You know, same with brothers, you know what I mean? We've got a lot of men out there that are doing some of the things that they can, but we're always so focused on the negative things. Oh, they're in and out of jail and they're this and they're that. You know, we never see some of the people in our community. We don't humanize them for doing things that are just part of a natural course in life. You know, we're always, again, trying to romanticize whatever massa, so to speak, has given us the playbook for. Go ahead, you can do this. We'll let you into our circles and our corners. And to me, I don't care too much for that. You know, money's not an issue for me. My kids are fed, they're housed, they're healthy. Once that's taken care of in this type of society, like, as far as I'm concerned, I don't need the rest of it. So I wouldn't even sign my kids up to go to LeBron. I mean, if it's free, like, yeah, go play basketball, go chill. But I mean, in terms of anything else, like I said, I appreciate people like you. So, you know, if nobody's told you this morning, my brother, you keep doing what you're doing, because like I said, we need more people like you out there. Okay.
I appreciate you, sister. I do.
Okay. And you, yeah, have a good one. All right. Take care.
Yeah. I think this is a issue of low racial esteem. We just take whatever anybody willing to give us, and we ain't got no say in the matter. A school is a community institution. It's not an individual gift. And I would like to know, did he consult with the community and sit with the people prior to opening the school? What African-centered, what progressive, what black scholars, educational, psychological, public policy scholars did he consult with and sit with? Or not him, I'm sorry, the white lady who's the executive director of the LeBron James Foundation that's overseeing this benevolent act. And black people, I always tell you, we love the rag to riches stories. I love them too. I love my favorite rapper, how he was, you know, had holes in his socks and cardboard in his shoes and he was busting funky rhymes or, you know, dropping hook shots, dunking and shooting and got his mama out the ghetto, bought his sister a car and bought his mama a house. I love those stories. But when you think about wealth, you can't just think about getting it. You have to think about how is wealth sustained. Beyonce said something that I think the community really needs to pay attention to. Beyonce said, my grandchildren are already rich. My great-grandchildren are already rich, which means she said, not only do I have money, I'm going to perpetuate this wealth throughout generations. And black people, we love talking about multi-generational wealth. We love that rhetoric. But we need to think about, how do you sustain wealth? Long after nobody wants to see Beyonce jiggle on stage, when she's doing backroom Vegas shows, back when she's replaced by another blonde-haired, wig-wearing, young, talented black woman, black girl tragic, I mean magic, whatever. Long after she's resigned to legendary status, she's up there with Aretha Franklin and other people who still got the name but can't fill arenas anymore. Long after all of that, long after Jay-Z, nobody, you know, the face tattooed mumblers have already displaced Jay-Z. She said, I'm going to keep this money. How do you sustain multi-generational wealth in a capitalist economy? Think about that. Look at these people's holdings. Look at their investments and what they're vested in. And you'll find that Beyonce and LeBron and all these wealthy blacks that you love so much, and they'll tell you, I don't even spend the basketball money. I don't even spend the endorsement money. I'm making so much money off of my dividends and residuals, I ain't even got to think of that. Money's just stacking. And so then you'll see that these same people that love us and we love them, that look like us and we look like them, the same people that got us imagining we too will have the $100 million bank account, those same people are more aligned in their interest with Donald Trump, with the Heritage Foundation, with Bechtel, with Halliburton. Those same people, their interest align with our oppressors more so than they align with us. Their economic interests trump no pun intended, trump their racial loyalties. And it never ceased. It has been that way since when they first came to snatch an African. And there was one African that was like, in order to preserve my cattle, I have to cooperate with the invaders. Oh, not only do I, cooperation with the invaders not only helps me to preserve my cattle, it allowed me to amass, because when they snatch my neighbor and drag him off, I get to take his cattle and his land. And then they snatch my other labor, and I not only can I preserve what I got, I can amass and big up myself. And maybe I'll start a little tribal school. So yes, Beyonce has to exploit the sweatshops in Bangladesh. And yes, LeBron has to support exploit the sweatshops in Haiti and China and Indonesia in order to amass his wealth. Because Jordan, Beyonce, LeBron James, who are selling ARC, and then I have to come to the black community and get something that I extracted from exploited labor, and then sell it for the flip it in a community where people are indoctrinated through mass media, through rap, skirt, skirt, you know, this rap to want these material things. And because so little value is placed on life that I have to cover myself in these logos, these meaningless logos, in order to have some meaning and worth in my community and to myself. It's all a toxic cycle. And LeBron wouldn't be a 100 millionaire. He signed it before he ever got on in the NBA. He signed $1 million contract with Nike, $90 million contract with Nike. And so I'm going to come over here and you're going to cooperate with our oppressors in order to help us. Help us to what? Overthrow the very system that allows you to amass the wealth? When has that ever happened? Now, there it has happened. I know the answer to that. It has happened. But let me tell you something. Class suicide, where a person elevates within a class and gets to the upper tier of a class and then turns around and subverts that class, I mean, it's more Bigfoot and UFO sightings are more common than class suicide. It happens, but it's extremely rare. And I don't see LeBron. LeBron is class stabilizing. He's class reinforcing. And here's another thing. Why did LeBron have to build the school? There was something. Let me tell you something. People always say, what you think LeBron should do? And I didn't want this to be the LeBron show. I got some other things we need to talk about. But it is what it is. The spirit is moving me, y'all. And it ain't about any individual. It's about the collective. I'm a socialist. I'm a collectivist. So believe you me, if I'm provoked to talk about an individual, it's based on the collective. And I want the collective to have this understanding. It doesn't matter what he does or doesn't do. The power is with the people. So as we move, the world has no choice but to move. But instead of us directing our movement, we're being herded like cattle. But let me tell you, people are like, what? Wesley Snipes, at the height of his career, when he had done Blade, when he had that hit movie, that baseball movie, and he was making so much money, he didn't even go back to the movie, and New Jack City in the 90s, Wesley was the man. I know he done fell off now. He doing straight to Netflix or straight to DVD. But there was a time when he was a big Hollywood draw. And he decided, I want to do something positive for my community. So he made a documentary. He executive produced, financed, directed a documentary. But it wasn't Wesley Snipes speaks to the community. He went and found the most prominent scholar in the black community at the time, Dr. John Henry Clark, and says, you, I got the resources. I got the technical know-how. Let me put that behind your knowledge. Let me put that behind your wisdom. And let's bring together my resources and your wisdom. Because you spent your life fighting for the people. There ain't no money in that. And so then that came out with A Great and Mighty Walk. I believe A Great and Mighty Walk is, I might have to play that on the air. But A Great and Mighty Walk. And he put his resources. Now, Wesley Snipes said, I know Hollywood, I know action, I know martial arts, but when it comes to African history, I'm going to go to the premier African historian, revolutionary Pan-Africanist historian in the world that's still alive today. So LeBron James could have easily gone to a number of Pan-African scholars, of revolutionaries, and say, hey, I got the money. And I want to open the Amos M. Wilson School. I want to open the Dr. Bobby E. Wright Memorial School. I want to open the John G. Jackson School. I want to open the Carter G. Washington School. And I'm going to find the African scholars, wherever they are, and give them six-figure salaries and say, create this institution. And I'll show up with a basketball, twirl it on my finger, and bring you all the publicity and get you all the resources you need. But this is y'all. Y'all do it. I'm going to use my name to get by. I ain't going to what? I promise school? I've been dribbling balls. I've dribbled more balls than read more than open books. So I ain't opening the school. So I'm going to put it in the hands. I'm going to put my name and resources. Bob Marley went and said, where's the struggle? Where can I got this money. I got this fame. He said, well, we in Rhodesia right now, there is a guerrilla army. They don't have weapons. They don't have arms. They don't have a communications infrastructure. These guerrillas ain't got nothing but a desire to be free and a willingness to fight for their freedom. And he was like, fine, put the money up for the drugs, for the guns. Let's channel the money through Cuba and all these other, let's get some of the Russians. They said they willing to kick in if we can put the money up, and I'm going to finance this revolution. I ain't about to get out in front of it. I ain't about to go there and fight. I ain't about to go there and tell them to vote for their freedom or to march or set up a school for Zimbabwean kids. I'm going to let the people decide if they want to take up arms and overthrow Ian Smith. They want to overthrow the Rhodesian government, and I'm going to give them what they need, what they ask for, not what I think they should have. And they're like, listen, I can bring, he wrote that song, Zimbabwe, Africa a liberate, Zimbabwe. He wrote that Zimbabwe song to bring publicity and attention. So there has been instances where the people have been aided by their elites, by the black wealth, the people who are able to amass fiat currency within the systems of oppression and racism, and those people kick it back and make that work for the people. I don't see this as that situation. I could be wrong. What I've seen from this point till from the inception, I don't like what I see. But maybe there's things working. I look past the surface. And like I said, this ain't new to me. Same thing people said. I said Bill Cosby is not giving millions of dollars to these black institutions and sending all these black kids to school to enrich or empower the black community. He's doing it to integrate more black people into the status quo, which doesn't help us. Amos Wilson said, the collective progress of black people is inversely proportional to individual attainment within the system. It has been confirmed. The more black MBAs we get, the fewer black businesses we have. The more black doctors we get, the more higher rates of infant mortality, maternal mortality. We got more black doctors now than ever any time in history. And y'all were sharing those pictures of those sexy black young black doctors. And everybody's like, ooh, look at this black excellence. And then I'm like, how you sharing pictures, celebrating at the same time, right next to those sexy young black doctors, share the medical stats, share the life expectancy, type 2 diabetes, amputation, iatrogenic infections, infant and maternal mortality, injury, vaccine injury, organ theft. Show all the medical stats and then tell me how sexy those black doctors are after that, how black good. So the more black engineers we have, the less black industry we have. We got more black doctors operating in the U.S. and Europe than in the entire continent of Africa. Brain drain. We always talking about they stealing coltan, they stealing diamonds, and we don't talk about how they're stealing our best and brightest minds and having them work for them. The satellite guidance systems that the U.S. is using to dominate space and to bomb Africa from the stars was designed by a black man. Black people have made strides. Everything from the light bulb, the tungsten filament, to the damn cell phones black people have had key contributions to, yet we don't have any stake in that industry. We just looking for the next thing to celebrate. I ain't against celebration, but after celebration needs to come strict evaluation, critical evaluation. Let me tell you something. If LeBron James had gone to the Lakota community, the Native American reservation, say, I want to open a school, they'd sit him down with the community chieftains and say, oh, this is a noble act, young man. Why? What are your motivations? Who do you intend? Who do you work for? He would have been asked a series of questions and would have had to get permission from the community to help the community. Like I said, if he had gone to the poor Jews, if he had gone to the Ukraine, remember when Madonna wanted to adopt a poor Russian child from a Russian orphanage? And this is when Angelina Jolie was going all over the world, going to Africa like it's a box of chocolates and picking different flavor of little African kids, going to Vietnam and the Philippines, just picking a little flavor of little Asian kid. Madonna's like, oh, I'm going to go get me some colored children. But she's like, I want to put a little mayonnaise in the mix. And she decided she wanted to get an Eastern European child to go, you know, thought it looked good contrasting with her little colored child. The little Ethiopian baby she stole. And she was like, and Russia was like, the dignity of our nationhood will not allow us just to hand our babies over to some little silly celebrity. They're better off in Russian orphanages than in a Western mansion. And I ain't saying it was the right move or the right wrong move. I'm just saying that you better have some damn self-respect. Don't just broke out. Don't twist out, open out, bust out because somebody throws a dollar at you. I'm saying we have a right to question. We have a right to have input. We have a right to be critical about it. And the only thing you say is whether your critique is accurate, whether your critique is cogent, whether your critique is consistent, whether your critique holds up over time. But people telling me you ain't got no right to say nothing. I'm a peasant. I'm a serf. You don't have a right to apply your thoughts to this situation. What have you done? Let me ask LeBron and ask you, how did LeBron get rich? Did he dribble the ball, and every time he dribbles the ball and make a point, does the money manifest out of thin air? Where did that money come from? When LeBron first signed his NBA contract, he signed $94 million contract with Nike. Where did that money come from? Did Phillip Knight, the CEO of Nike, pull that out of his ass? Where did they get enough money to pay him $94 or $90 million? Where did it come from? And people at the time were saying, you're crazy, Nike. This kid isn't tested. Yeah, he's been dunking on high school kids, but how do we know how he's going to perform in the NBA? Nike is taking a big risk in this investment. Nike made a good call, but how you know? Where did the money come from? The money that made LeBron rich enough to open that school came from the hyper-exploitation of workers around the world. It came from the deindustrialization and regressive tax policies in the United States. It came from polluting environments where third world countries do not have environmental protection laws, so that they didn't have to pay for the toxic waste that is still making people sick and killing people overseas. The profits that Nike generated to pay LeBron $90 million came from colonization, from the military going overseas to collapse governments that were saying our country is not going to be slave labor for the Western entertainment and enjoyment. LeBron's wealth is based on oppression, exploitation, ecocide. So it's blood money. And then you say, well, what about the NBA? What are these NBA owners, these billionaire white men, where do they get their money from? What holdings and investments do they have? How that they got billions and able to pay LeBron millions? Where does the money come from? And then once LeBron gets that $1 million, he can't just put it in a bank account like we do and then chip away at it to write a bills for check. That ain't how big money behaves. That money is in sovereign wealth funds. He gives that money to people like Mitt Romney, these venture capitalists. That money is all over the world financing all types of things. And he has the low yield, medium yield, and high yield investments. Look at how you sustain wealth. And that'll tell you about class divisions and why working class people have no obligation to praise and say thank you. Because LeBron James is just kicking back down to the community a fraction of what the community has given him. It's like I go home. My wife has cooked the food, cleaned the house, fed and walked the dog, took care of our children all damn day, and put a plate in front of me. And then I just give her a peck on the cheek. That's good compensation. I told her she was beautiful today. And she's going, oh, Lou, he told me I was beautiful. She a sucker if she fall for that. You going to fall for just a little bit given to you after you give everything to that person. People out here ready to fight me over my positions, my views, my analysis of LeBron James. They ready to put hands on me. Allies I've been working with for 20 years calling me out. That's power. That's influence. I'm sorry. I'll confess. I've never seen LeBron James play at all. I might have seen him dunk in a highlight reel. I've never watched a game. The only time I pay attention to LeBron is when he's operating. Like when he left Cleveland for Ohio. Go back and look this up. And the white folks was burning his jersey and calling him coon, monkey, boy, nigger. And he went to Miami and people say his rings are legitimate. He's not a real champion. He'll never be a Jordan. And Ohio had no love for him. And then he put on a dress. Go look up Geico Insurance. He put on a wig and a dress as his pittance. Go look it up. And he said, listen, I'm going to put on this wig and a dress. I'm going to bow down and I'm coming back to Cleveland to get y'all to win you a championship, boss. And then all of a sudden, the same people that were burning his jerseys ran out and bought his jerseys. Like, oh, he may still be a nigger, but he's a good nigger this time. But y'all telling me he's awakening? I don't know. I don't need to know. I'm only saying what I absolutely know. I'm only saying what I absolutely see. Oprah built $1 million all-girls elite school, $10 million on a school. And it's been an utter catastrophe. Bill Cosby put up millions of dollars to send black kids to school. And those black kids joined with the status quo and start exploiting us for personal gain. Where are they now? These people are in their 40s and 50s. They're already established in their lives. Are they kicking back in? Has LeBron consulted with black scholars, African-centered scholars? Has LeBron talking about he's doing a school for at-risk youth? Has he come to understand why they're at risk? Who put them at risk? And my son comes to me and tells me, Dad, I'm at risk. I'm in trouble. And I'm like, I'm going to help you without addressing who is attacking you. Akron has a poverty rate of 36%, one of the highest in the nation. And it has a population of black people who are only 30%. Literally, almost all the black people in Akron live in poverty, but there's a lot of people living quite well in Akron. Why is that? Is it because they have better schools? Dell Jones said, we came here educated. Lack of education ain't never been our problem. It might be something else. And I ain't saying don't do education. I'm not in my children. You come talk to my children, they'll talk your head off. We prioritize education. I have a master's. My wife has a PhD. My son's only 16, already thinking about what colleges he's going to. But, you know, I'm going to tell my son that the shoes are made in a sweatshop. I'm going to tell my son, you should care about Palestine. You should care about Indonesia. You should care about people who work in foreign sweatshops. You should care about the brother on your block that ain't got what you got. You can't isolate. You either pro-justice or anti-justice. Ain't no such thing as halfway revolutionaries. You either pro-justice or anti-justice. I'm not devaluing education. That's why I resent education turning into a private commodity. I resent the fact that our public, that we should take the money from the rich. We should take the money from Jeff Bezos. through progressive taxation or any other means, take that money, put it in the public coffers, and then our elected representatives, people who are accountable and answerable to us, need to consult with us and determine what are the interests and desires of the community for those resources. Nobody's done $100 million worth of work. Nobody's done $1 billion worth of work. Every hundred millionaire, every billionaire is a damn parasite. How do we even evaluate labor? The way I evaluate labor, if every NBA basketball player goes on strike like they did with the NBA lockout a few years ago, more like 20 years ago, they had to remember there was a whole season of no basketball. And then let your garbage collector go on strike. Let the nurses' aides go on strike. Let the janitors go on strike. And you see how the society is disrupted versus basketball players. There was a writer's strike in Hollywood for how many years? You might just have to write some reruns, but beyond that, your life is not affected. How are we paying ball chasers and actors more money than we paying trash collectors and school teachers? And then y'all keep doing this little bridge stuff. Well, we can't have it all. Let's just get this little school. Yeah, I'm saying get the school. Open the school. Go to the school. Take everything you can get. You ain't got to be a patriot to get the welfare. It's your obligation. Oh, America gave me welfare. So what? Me and my sister were paid on welfare, and my younger brother, who went to Cleveland State, that's the only time I've been to Cleveland a few times. My brother went to college, got a full basketball scholarship, and met his wife there. She from there. So I've been to Cleveland, Ohio, been through Akron. And my brother, my sister, who went on to be a beautician and got her and educate and teach other beauticians, all three of us have given back more to this system than my mother ever got from welfare. Through taxes. You know, I worked for over a decade as a healthcare allied health professional. I've given more back to this system than this system ever contributed to me. But y'all want to go back to the feudal ages. Y'all want to go back to the dark ages where the peasants and the serfs are dependent on the benevolence of the Lord. If the Lord deem you worthy of education, then you shall get it. If the Lord's offspring who inherits all his wealth deems you unworthy, then no education until you get another benevolent monarch. If your city produced a basketball star, then you get a good school. If your city didn't produce a basketball star, no good schools for you. That ain't how it's supposed to work. Even the wretched founding father, pedophile rapist, founding fathers of America knew that wasn't. By the time you living in a system that not even wretched rapists and slavers don't support. Come on. Black people, we are the founders of civilization. We are not just the founders of civilization. We are the founders of bureaucracy, of management, of structuring institutions. We are the first people to fund institutions. We are the first people to come up with a division of labor. And now we got this wretched ass feudal system descending upon us. And, you know, my grandmother and great-grandmother and grandma, Sonics Bowie and Genevieve Bowie, my great-grandparents, raised my grandmother, my great-uncle, and my great-aunt through the Great Depression. And my great-grandmother was a stay-at-home mother, and she would sometimes take in laundry, sew, and do little things to supplement great-grandpa, and he was an industry man. Worked the rail yards, worked the factories. He was missing fingers and had all kind of injuries because he was a hard working man of labor, calloused tan, black man. But they rented a house from a black woman, one of the affluent black families in Missouri during Jim Crow. And this woman was a wealthy widower. And just as she was getting up in age, she went to my great-grandmother and said, "I love your family. I love y'all, a hardworking family, and sometimes y'all late on rent sometimes, and I see y'all working together, and y'all God-fearing family." And this woman was a benevolent elite. And she said to my great-grandmother, "I'm getting old. My husband already passed away, and let me tell you something. If I die, my kids going to kick y'all out of this house and sell it for money, or they going to up your rent. They going to do you dirty. So you got to buy this house from me." And grandma said, "Hey, Grandma Bowie said, I, you know, all our money goes to feeding our kids, keeping our head above water. I ain't got no savings. I ain't got, you know, and you know, my great grandfather, he used to get paid. Payday, he go to a back of a truck. They pull up an armored truck and just throw cash off the back. He's not a man of industry. He's not a man of means. And she said, well, I'm going to work with you. I'll put a little money on your books. I'm going to do a little this, a little that. I'm going to make sure you get this house in your name. Sign this and do that. Because she was a benevolent monarch. But she did everything in her power and said, listen, my kids are not going to live based on the goodness or evil of some of people of means. I want them to have their own. So she pushed. And my grandmother and uncle owned his own business. My great aunt went on to heights unseen. Because she knew you can't depend on benevolence. You got to get people power, the power to the people. And I'd rather go to my damn neighbor for a stick of butter than have some charity bring a stick of butter, because we need that community cohesion. And I ain't saying when the charity do bring the stick of butter to my house, I'm going to divide it up between everybody. We're losing that. There's no reason why the community shouldn't already have a decent school for every black child in Akron. The resources are there, but through regressive taxation, go look up the upper income tax rate. There was a time in the 40s and 50s where the United States had the number one public school system in the nation. Even the black kids was getting educated in segregated schools. And the public, the elites said, we're going to dismantle public education. We're going to turn people, all these teachers are so corrupt, they're all off all summer. We want to put teachers in charter school. We want to turn teaching from a profession to a job. We want to take away their union benefits. We want to take away their tenure. We want to have them to be as vulnerable as a line cook in a McDonald's. And that's for a reason. That's for a specific reason. I don't even know if I got time to get into. This is an oligarchical system, and black oligarchs are no better than white oligarchs. They can't be better than white oligarchs, because if they started behaving differently, they would lose their status. They would be displaced by other hostile oligarchs. So yeah, LeBron, he might be a good dude. Is his wife a good woman? Are his kids going to be good kids? They don't know poverty. His kids ain't never known struggle. So the moment his kids inherit the school, are they going to keep it up? Oh, those kids, they need to pull themselves up. I worked hard. Like Trump, born a multimillionaire, talking about how hard he worked. Trump ain't never known work. Remember, Trump just yesterday said you have to show ID to buy groceries. He's like, I don't know why you have to show an ID. You shouldn't have to show an ID to vote. You have to show an ID to buy groceries. This man ain't never bought no damn groceries. For him, food materializes not only in the refrigerator, food materializes on a plate in front of him. That's the same thing with the first George Bush. Remember, he walked into a grocery store during his campaign against Bill Clinton, and they were scanning the groceries. And he's like, why aren't you ringing up my groceries? She's like, well, when I slide them across this surface, it rings them up through the UPC. And he was like, damn, that's how long you been doing that? He ain't never seen that before. Because he was born rich with his bootlegging, drug-dealing father. And so, even though LeBron knows struggle, LeBron knows food stamps, even though he had his mother mortgage her house to buy him a Hummer, and she's supposed to be a bad mother. I don't know. My mother wouldn't mortgage a house to buy me a sandwich. But, you know, he was buying a big, full-body yellow Hummer. But now they say he's the most frugal guy in the NBA. So I guess he learned that lesson. But he does have houses all over the place. I don't know how you got multiple residences and you frugal at the same time, but I guess. But his kids don't know struggle. So when he passes all his wealth untaxed, remember the inheritance tax, the quote-unquote death tax has been done away with. Were his kids being benevolent? Or we have to wait for some other dude to do a rags-to-riches reach-back story? I, for one, do not want the well-being of the society, the education of my children, the health care, the quality of air and water and soil. I don't want any of that being resting on the benevolence of some elite. What happened to power to the people? What happened to that? The people should be able to decide. Everybody in America says they want good schools. Why the hell don't we have it? The resources are there. The resources are misallocated. LeBron didn't earn that money. Bill Gates didn't earn that money. Trump didn't earn his money. You hear me? Mark Zuckerberg didn't earn that money. You don't get rich through work. You amass obscene amounts of wealth through manipulation of monetary policy, of tax policy, of the patents and copyright laws. That's how money is made. And if you think you make money through work and you get out here and work and you think you're going to amass hundreds of million dollars through work, you will never get there. Even LeBron James, if he only got his basketball money and the money that the people pay him to play basketball, how do they get the money to pay him to play basketball? How do they get the money to get him to endorse products? He don't just sell us Nikes. He endorses Coca-Cola. How does Coca-Cola get its money? Coca-Cola finances death squads. So we shouldn't cheer for that money. That's all stolen money. I ain't saying don't give them something. I ain't saying you couldn't get comfortable money. But you don't deserve no damn $90 million for writing an algorithm or dribbling a damn basketball. That is a, but we've been told. We've allowed these people, the elites, to tell us, if I go stand over a hot grill serving people food, I don't deserve a living wage. But if I can dribble a ball, or if I can copyright or patent something I didn't even make, as long as I hold the patent to it and don't make a difference who made it, that they deserve almost $1 trillion. Based on what? Where does that come from? Who made that damn decision? Did we vote on it in this democracy? Do you understand that Franklin Delano Roosevelt made the upper income tax rate 99%, meaning that if you live and you worked in the United States, you can make your first $1 million. That's yours. Walk with it. But every million you make after that, we're going to take $999,000 of it. And the only way to stop the government from taking $999,000 of your money is to reinvest it, put it back in the company, or to donate it or something. But you ain't going to bank that, because they understood you can't allow a monetary elite to emerge in your society, because it erodes the social fabric. And like I said, cavemen races understand that better than black revolutionaries now. How a troglodyte understands better and has a better grasp of just economic policy than the so-called black revolutionaries that's trying to liberate and better our communities. You got black people out here supporting trickle-down economics. I thought we was against it. I remember when Reagan first talked about trickle-down economics. Black people were the first people to stand up and say, we don't want trickle-down economics. You're not going to allow the rich to amass all the money, and then we'll sit and hope in a starving corner that they might kick us back. Out of the hundreds and millions of children, poor, starving children, 240 get a nice school. And that's a progress. That's black power. Why, you got to walk past a shrine to Nike, one of the most racist, exploitative companies in history. And our kids got to walk past a shrine to Nike in order to get a decent education. That is not progress. That is regression. So forgive me for not celebrating with you. Forgive me for not being able to take LeBron's benevolence outside of the larger economic context. Forgive me for being unable to look at this without an in-depth class analysis. I'm sorry. I wish I could. I wish I could just click off. I wish I could celebrate with y'all. We got another caller. Bro Diallo Show. You're live on the Bro Diallo Show. State your name and alias and where you're calling from. Hello?
How you doing, Diallo? This is ML and I'm in St. Louis.
Hey, sis. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm not doing too well. I got people wanting to
fight me. I've been listening to you this morning, and even yesterday, not only you got people hot at you, you got people hot at me because I was sharing the post.
Uh-oh.
Black folks, one person said to me, I thought you was pro-black. I'm thinking myself, well, I am, you know, but I'm also conscious of certain things. So I just wanted to reiterate what Charlotte said this morning, how we appreciate your perspective. And my comment was, you know, we have this thing about racism. We know all about it. We know about police brutality. We know about discrimination. We know about all that. But when it comes to classism, capitalism, and everything like that, we just, you know, we don't connect the dots. We don't connect the two. We don't understand that classism and racism are, you know, fingers on the hand of white domination.
Right.
And we think that this money is going to elevate us out of some position, that the money that, you know, a few of us get, and it's just not. And I was thinking, you know, when you were talking about the shoes at the school on the wall, I remember Oprah saying that she didn't build a school in Chicago because when she asked the kids in Chicago what they wanted, they told her they wasn't in Georgia and clothes, and she was disappointed, so that's why she went to school in Chicago. But now we're supposed to be clapping because LeBron got a wall full of shoes up in his school. Is that what we're saying?
It looked like a Foot Locker. This
institution, I mean, it doesn't make sense. You put this in front of these children and tell them that this is what you're supposed to strive for, because even though the shoes are supposed to be donated or whatever, or auctioned off the fund, everything, those kids walking past it every day are saying in their head, that's what I want. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm striving to do. But then you turn around and tell them, you know, you're not supposed to want that. That's a problem. So from what Oprah's perspective was, but that's what you put in front of our children. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm kind of tired of black people with this, you know, the cops shouldn't beat us, but then you turn around and you talk about politics and classism and capitalism, and they clapping all day. I don't get it. My own people confuse them. We don't want to learn past our own selves, you know. And the thing with this, when your first caller said something about he ain't teaching his kids about what's going on with children in these slave shops in other countries, he teaches them about theirs. That individualism stuff, that ain't ours. That's not African. That's not a part of our culture. That's,
I have to agree. Yeah.
European. I'm trying not to curse. I'm sorry.
Right.
That's European myth.
Right.
So that's not what we should be. You know, you have to teach your children about the world and about all the exploitation going on to black and brown people all over the world. You know, it's not just us. You teach your kids it's about them, and then they grow up and be all lives matter. You know, you just got to comply with the police. Ain't no police ever did nothing to me. And then everybody got an attitude with them. I don't understand why, because that's what we're teaching them. We're teaching them to worry about you and the hell with everybody else. I'm sorry. And, you know, so we're supposed to care about our collective, and that's what people are not understanding. That's what your first caller didn't understand. It's about collectivism. It's not about the individual. I'm happy those 200 kids are, you know, getting a decent European indoctrinated education, because that's what this is.
Right.
But that's not going to help black people as a collective, and none of this stuff will. So, but I just wanted to say that, Diallo. But again, I just wanted to thank you for your perspective, and you know, just it's nice to see a few other black people that think he needs to surface, because a lot of us don't, and it's really sad.
I sure appreciate you too, sis. Please call back again.
Okay.
All right.
I sure will. So you take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. I got two other black people with me. So maybe I will call that guy and give him a time, date, and location for the fight, because now I got some positive support. At least some people will be there to support me in spirit. So I might get back at you, homie, with a time, date, and location. I want it to be someplace nice, like Aruba. And I assume, since he's having me select, that he'll pay for my airfare and accommodations. You know, because I'm going to pick someplace nice. Nigeria. I've been wanting to get to Nigeria for some time now. So we'll go fight in Nigeria and then, you know, enjoy the rest of our stay there. But yeah, black folks, I mean, this is revolution, man. And it's been so many times people have come with benevolence. And like I said, people that came at me. I hate deflating the wheels of the bandwagons. Call me negative, call me a hater, but fine. You know, I'll claim that. I don't care. What would concern me is they would say, well, your analysis is incomplete. And here are the holes in your assertions. That's what concerns me. That if you really want to hit me, do that. Show me the holes. Show me the holes. Show me the inconsistency. Show me the historical precedent that shows benevolent black elites helping black people to stand in opposition to the system that oppresses the black masses but enriches the black elites. Show me that. Show me an example. I've got my own examples, and I don't see LeBron following those examples. I recognize it. I love it. You know, so if you say people, a lot of people are like, what do you expect the brother to do? I would expect him to, at the very least, engage conscious revolutionary scholars in building the institutions, to engage the community and find out what the needs and deficits are specific to that community, and then establish a community of elders that live in Akron, a community of activists that are in Akron, instead of having this woman, the executive director running the thing, have the people from the community run it and have oversight, and with the assistance of conscious revolutionary scholar, African scholars from the U.S. and abroad. I would also say you need larger infrastructure, you know, in terms of small business cooperatives for a fraction of what you put up. You can put a little less opulence in the school and set up some cooperative enterprises, you know. Because the theme of that school, because what I'm going to learn, if I go to this nice school, I'm from Akron, broke down, struggle ass Akron, and I'm seeing what the world could offer me. Then the first thing, that's what we've been doing since, I don't know when, since a different world. We got to get out the hood. And then you get a few of those best and brightest, and they'll get off to the best schools in the world. And never look back, or maybe they will, and then they'll set up an extractive force. And maybe there could be something in the contract. That's what I said about Cosby. I said, anybody to get a Cosby scholarship, why can't say Cosby says, listen, these are some selective institutions and organizations that when you graduate on a Cosby dime, when you get that Cosby scholarship, you have to go give at least 5 years. It's like an African-centered Peace Corps. You got to go get 5 years of whatever your skill, whether your skill is literature, whether your skill is engineering, whether your skill, whatever your skill that you get from the Cosby dollar, you're going to commit to at least 5 years. And we hope that after 5 years of working within this institution, you will volunteer to stay longer. So you get 4 years education, 4 years to the community. We could do what we want. But literally, you got black people training up and financing the educations of other black people, and IBM, Microsoft reaps all the reward from that. The Pentagon, West Point, reaps all the reward. And you talk about the cycles of money. How money is supposed to bounce in the community or recycle through the community. It ain't just money bouncing in the community. Technical skills need to recycle through the community. Technical skills are more important than fiat currency. Ideas are supposed to bounce in the community. And not just paper money, but resources. I never hear people like, yo, you know, I have a friend, associate, somebody I know casually, who's a scientist. When he comes to the community, he comes to party. When he goes to work for a white company. But when I get off, I work, and they tell you, I work hard. So when I get off work, I want to relax. So all of your active intellectual work goes to the multinational corporation, and then all of your leisure is spent with us. And we love leisure. I ain't against leisure. Your house music, chosen few, do your leisure. But that's what we've cultivated. I'm telling y'all, We're not going to get free like this. We're not going to get free feeding more brilliant black minds into the systems and institutions of our oppressor. We're not going to get free mimicking the behaviors, protocols, and practices of our oppressor. We're not going to get free if we don't have a cogent, coherent, thorough class analysis. We're not going to get free if we don't develop an ongoing distrust of the elites, of their motivations, of their contribution. We're not going to get free. All of this is necessary. And I ain't saying we got to go this far, but if you look at Cambodia, if you look at China, if you look at Cuba, you see what they did with their elites, with their benevolent people who would now again bestow upon the unwashed masses some blessing from time to time, giving alms to the poor. Look at what, when the revolution comes in Louisiana, there were almost 24 black owned plantations. Black people of black flesh and bone who bought, sold, and traded and enslaved Africans. And every single black plantation owner, those black people had been under what is called meritorious manumission. Again, Claude Anderson, his book, Dirty Little Secrets, goes into depth. Black people who had secured meritorious manumission. When they secured meritorious manumission, they were giving all the rights of a white man. They were officially honorary white people. And they were given the opportunity to sign contracts, to have their grievances heard in court, to buy property, and to own slaves. If they were black slaves, they couldn't buy white slaves. That was the one caveat. And every single one of those wealthy black plantation owners during the Civil War, every single one of them fought on the side of the Confederacy. Not one of them crossed that line. It's like, as bad as this system is, this is the system I got paid in. This is the system I amassed my wealth in. This is the system that has granted me the opportunity to hold property. So as bad as it is for the rest of y'all niggas, it's all good for me. And maybe some of those black, wealthy black plantation owners in the 1850s, in the 1860s, maybe some of them would sit down some little black slave boys and say, listen, let me tell you, because they couldn't tell slave girls. I said boys specifically because even white women weren't allowed to enter into contracts and trade property and all that. So white women didn't even have the rights, the intimate oppressed. It's a good chapter on that in Howard Zinn's book, White Women Under Oppression from White Men. But anyway, they might have sat down with some little black boys and said, listen, you see how I's a black man, but I's got me a plantation. I got me some plots of land. I got me some slaves to work that land. I got me some holdings, and I got me a fine suit. And I'm going to teach you other little black boys how to get what I got. And this is how you secure meritorious manumission. After you get your meritorious manumission, then you get you your plot of land, and then you get that adjacent plot of land, and then you go get you a few other niggers, and maybe some of those black plantation owners were willing to teach a few black kids how they can get a plantation. Is that progress? The only thing worse than adopting the religion of your slave owner is adopting the economic system of your slave owner. The only thing worse, more tragic than adopting the religion, and we got a lot of black folks that are so hip. Yeah, the slave, Jesus, good ship, Jesus Lubeck brought it in. We were the slave master's religion, the white man's God. And what I tell my people, we have to navigate this system. Like the caller, the first caller, my man Cole said when he called in, we ain't about to flip this tomorrow. We ain't about to flip this a century from now unless we get some things, some base behavior. So I agree, we're not about to flip this tomorrow. So send your son to the or daughter to the LeBron school. Go downtown and apply for your food stamps or your housing vouchers. When election time comes, go down and vote for the political platform that best speaks to your interests, your community's interests. But as you engage in these acts, understand, have an understanding that this ain't it. That we're working towards something bigger. When you go to work, go and smile at the water cooler, at your racist coworkers that make more than you but do less than you. Smile. I ain't saying go down and say you honky cracker of the honky cracker town. Don't do that at work. I ain't saying be irrational. I ain't even saying go on there and say forget LeBron James school, because then you got some dude trying to, you know, make a formal date to fight you. So I ain't even saying you got to be as stupid as I am. But what I'm saying is we have to understand that it's going to take a revolution. And when we think revolution, all we see is the AK-47 shooting in the air and the brothers riding on the back of trucks with burning flags and trenches dug in the soil and lines drawn in the sand. That's not, you don't see the decades, the generations that led up to the Haitian, Chinese, even the American Revolution. All the edicts and the announcements and the that were written up and given. Revolution is an intellectual endeavor, and we think we can close our minds off. And I know what it's like to want to win so bad that you'll define a loss as try to flip a loss as into a win. But I don't support feudalism in any manifestation. I don't support oligarchy in any manifestation. And we can't compromise ourselves, because what's going to happen is the same thing that happened in the continent of Africa when the white man was ousted. He was ousted from the soil and he was still in our minds. So if we got liberation tomorrow and we're still of the thing that we should allow a certain select population of black people to amass billions and millions of dollars, and then we will allow them to determine individually without any accountability who's worthy to trickle down some of that billions due. You get a school and you get a school and you get a school like some Oprah nonsense. But y'all over here, y'all don't get nothing. That's not acceptable. And even when it happens now, if we're powerless to do anything about it, at the very least, we're not powerless to think about it. We at least can engage in independent critical thought. So when the opportunity comes to correct it, we'll do it. You think you can have abandon a thought? Time, listen, next week, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, Friday, we're going to talk about victim to vector and the cycle of abuse. We're going to talk about a lot of these abusers when they get caught abusing, they want to talk about their own abuse. And you talk about Charlemagne the rapist and our pedophile Kelly. You are a pedophile, Kelly. And how when they get caught, they like to come out and say, well, I was 12 or 36 year old women. So we got these cycles of abuse. And you don't know whether to have sympathy or hatred, or whether you don't know how you're supposed to feel about that. Here's an abused person. Here's a kid whose mom grew up in a drug den, hungry and cold. And then he had to hustle drugs and sell drugs to somebody else's mama to get off drugs. I got to turn off your lights to keep my lights on. This system of compounding oppression, of dog eat dog, of focusing on the crabs in the barrel instead of the damn crab trapper who put them in the barrel. So we're going to talk about where these cycles of abuse come from. How do we deal with abusers, abuse victims who become abusers? And is there anything that could be done about it? The plague of pedophilia and child abuse, the plague of domestic violence. The plague of self-hatred and self-loathing. The plague of a system that commodifies and turns people into objects for sexual pleasure. To turn people into objects. To turn children into a burden. That shames mothers. And isolates fathers if they don't have the fiat currency to be worthy of reproduction. So we're going to talk about that system of abuse. Where it comes from. How it's sustained. How we can challenge and one day defeat that system of abuse. I didn't mean to turn this into the LeBron show. I'll make the adjustments online to the title. Thank you for listening, Bro Diallo Show. And I know this is the worst time to do it, but I do need support. You know, I just paid off several bills and fees accrued by the Bro Diallo Show. I'm finally back in the black, but as today, I'm starting to accrue more debt. I'm still financing the show out of my pocket. Ain't no angel investor over here. So this show is for, by, and of the people, so I depend on the people for support, and the people will determine whether I remain on air or not. So go to Diallokenyatta.com, Diallopatreon.com/Diallokenyatta. Kick in where you can. Also, I want to give a shout out to my man, Travis Long, who sent me this wonderful shirt that I'm going to be wearing on the air tomorrow. This wonderful Nzinga shirt. It's backwards because of the phone thing, but enough love and respect. He sent it straight here to the studio, and so it did liven things up. I don't know why I'm being so negative. I do get love from the people, and you fight for the people, and the people will acknowledge that when in their own special kind of way. But again, thanks for listening. Bro Diallo Show, Q4 Radio, AM 1680, iTunes Radio, TuneIn app. Continue to listen. Continue to support. Continue to call in. And we're going to leave this LeBron thing. We're just going to take a step back. I didn't had more than my say. I would have said less if I wasn't getting so much kickback. Really, if I say something you don't like, the best thing you can do is ignore it. Because I would have just said one thing, but it took up my whole evening and all day radio show today. I ain't trying to dethrone your beloved King James. That is not my intention. And in fact, I ain't trying to do nothing. It's about the people. I truly believe in power to the people. I don't believe in power to the individual. I don't think individuals should be able to make decisions for communities or deem a community worthy or unworthy. I believe the people should be empowered to make such decisions. And maybe I'm a dinosaur. Maybe that's an old concept. Maybe in this time of oligarchy and amassing millions and billions of trillionaires, maybe it's time the people just have to wait and see what they're going to give us. Anyway, Bro Diallo Show, Q4 Radio. I'm out.